and turn in your Bibles this morning to Leviticus chapter 22. Leviticus. Right after Exodus. We're going to read a couple of verses here. Verse 18. Leviticus 22, verse 18. Speak unto Aaron and to his sons and to all the children of Israel, and say unto them, whatsoever he be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers in Israel, that will offer his oblation for all his vows, and for all his freewill offerings, which they will offer unto the Lord for a burnt offering, ye shall offer at your own will a male without blemish of the beeves, of the sheep, or of the goats. But whatsoever hath a blemish, that shall ye not offer, for that is not acceptable for you. If you would turn to Deuteronomy chapter 15. Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse 19. All the firstling males that come of thy herd and of thy flock, thou shalt sanctify unto the Lord thy God. Thou shalt do no work with the firstling of thy bullock, nor shear the firstling of thy sheep. Thou shalt eat it before the Lord thy God year by year in the place which the Lord shall choose, thou and thy household. And if there be any blemish therein, as if it be lame or blind, or have any ill blemish, thou shalt not sacrifice it unto the Lord thy God. Thou shalt eat it within thy gates. The unclean and clean person shall eat it alike, as the roebuck and as the hart. Only thou shalt not eat the blood thereof. Thou shalt pour it upon the ground as water. One more verse. Deuteronomy 17, verse 1. Thou shalt not sacrifice unto the Lord thy God any bullock or sheep wherein is blemish, or any evil favoredness, for that is an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Now you'll see something in all three of these passages. In these scriptures, God sets forth some principles. I think that regarding the worship, sacrifice, and service. The title of my message today is, Are We Giving Our Best to God? See, God required that the Israelites sacrifice the very best that they had in the worship of Him. The firstborn, the firstling. And it had to be a male. And it had to be, for all intents and purposes, the best animal. Undefiled. No blemishes. Nothing broken. Nothing wrong with it. As they engaged in worshiping Him. The sacrifices were not to have any blemishes or deformities. They were required to give to God what they themselves would consider as most valuable. I like what John MacArthur said on Deuteronomy 17:1. To offer less than the best to God was to despise His name And he referred to Malachi chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, where God calls out the Israelites for basically giving him their leftovers. Offering a less than perfect sacrifice was in effect failing to acknowledge God as the ultimate provider of all that was best in life. Now, you realize that in the current day and age in which we live, in this dispensation, if you will, we're not under the civil or ceremonial laws that govern the nation of Israel, many of which are set forth in Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. However, I believe that the principles that are set forth, that were set forth thousands of years ago, are still valuable for us today. What was the one theme that you got out of all those verses? God wants your best. When you're offering a sacrifice, He wants things done in a certain way. And those of us who are saved and redeemed, I believe we ought to give the very best of our time, our effort, our money, our labors to the work of the Lord, to the worship of the Lord, to the service of the Lord. And I believe it covers all of life, everything we do. We ought to do whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Because I look at when I go to work, if I work for an employer, that is an act of worship. I am responsible to God. He gave me that job to do the very best that I can do. And I'm to engage in that and do that heartily as unto the Lord. And certainly, we ought to consider this in the way we serve the Lord. The way we serve our God. This year it'll be 41 years since I've been saved. In November. And in my years of Christian life, I've seen a trend that seems to get worse and worse and worse as time passes. And it's bothered me here lately. If you remember a few weeks ago, I'm sure you remember all the details of the sermon on March 28th when I preached on Psalm 96 about what we're to give unto the Lord. Well, this will be from a little different perspective, but it's something that's got a hold of me. Are we really giving our best in our service to God? I fear that we live in an age where there is so much apathy, indifference, unfaithfulness concerning the service and the worship of God. And there are times, if we're really honest, that we just go through the motions. And we do things half-heartedly rather than being engaged and enthused in the work of God. I believe that we need a genuine revival of holy living and consecration and service where we devote ourselves afresh and anew to the service of God. Now, as I read these verses and studied on them, I couldn't help but think what God's example to us is. I mean, all the Old Testament sacrifices, all they were to give the best that they had, the firstling of the flock. They were to be undefiled, holy, dedicated, consecrated unto the Lord. But even the very best they had, in reality, wasn't good enough. All of those sacrifices, if you were to put them all together, they couldn't put away or take away even one sin. They were to do that year after year after year as they anticipated and looked forward to the coming of Messiah, the Lamb of God. You think about God's example to us as far as giving. God the Father gave us His best, the eternally begotten Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the fairest jewel of heaven. God gave Him, appointed Him, as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world to come and offer Himself as the perfect, holy, righteous sacrifice to die upon the cross of Calvary. I mean, all of our worship revolves around the work of Jesus Christ, the perfect work of Jesus Christ. He is the spotless, holy Lamb of God. And there were no blemishes in the Son of God. He was born unlike any other person has ever or will ever be born. His body was conceived in the womb of a woman who had never known a man. She was a virgin. She never had any sexual relations. God had prophesied that a virgin would conceive and bring forth a son. And that's exactly what happened. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, meaning that He was untainted by sin. You see, when we're born, when we're conceived in the womb, we're defiled. That sin nature of Adam is passed on to every person who is born of a woman and a man coming together. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so that death hath passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. One exception to that rule. And that is the perfect Son of God, Jesus Christ. When He came in the flesh, He was born of the Spirit. He was born of a virgin. He was identified as that holy thing by Luke. He lived a spotless life. God gave us His best. Think about who it is that secured our salvation. He's the only one who's ever lived who always did those things which pleased God. So every thought that He had was pure, holy, obedient. Every word that He spoke was honoring to the Father. All of His outward actions were in complete compliance to the law of God. He fulfilled all the law. He was absolutely righteous. There was no spot, no blemish, no defilement, no guile, no sin in Jesus Christ. How amazing is it that one so perfect and holy and cheerfully obedient was willing to die for people who are so defiled, so filled with sin, He was willing in that perfect body to have our sins and all of the punishment that was due unto us. All of that was laid upon the perfect sacrifice, Jesus Christ. He offered Himself as a lamb without blemish or spot. Do we really value the perfections of Christ? The impeccability of our Savior, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who was willing to die in the stead of people who were rebels, who were sinful. Galatians 1:4 says, who gave Himself for us, or for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God our Father. Paul said, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. God gave His best in the sacrifice of His Son. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. The just. The one who was absolutely righteous, altogether lovely, no sin, suffered in the stead of those who were unjust. This amazes me, that Jesus Christ, God's very best, gave everything so that we could be saved. Do we really understand the richness of God's grace in sending His Son to be a sacrifice for the sins of His people? See, this is real. I've said it 1,000 times. This is what sets Christianity apart from every man-made religion. God manifest in the flesh, the Holy One of Israel, the Just One, was offered as a sacrifice for our sins. And He did what the Old Testament offerings could never do. All they could do was cover sins. Those sacrifices had to be repeated year after year after year. The requirements had to be met. But when Jesus Christ came on the scene, John the Baptist pointed to Him and said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. God loves us so much that He gave His very best. The second person of the sacred Trinity became flesh, became a man, identified with us in order to die for our sins. Ephesians 5:2 says, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us as an offering and a sweet-smelling sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave his best willingly and voluntarily. And have you considered what we freely receive from God? Turn over with me to Romans chapter 8. On account of Christ giving himself, appointed by the Father as a perfect sacrifice. It says in Romans chapter 8, in verse 31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And he goes on to give every possible scenario, and he comes to the conclusion that there's nothing that can separate us. You know why that is? Because Jesus Christ was willing to be separated as a sacrifice. He was willing to die in our place, to take our sins, to purge them, to put them away. And in return, he gives us freely all things. Consider what God has given us because of the work of Jesus Christ. It says there in verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He's freely given us his Spirit to regenerate us, to bring us to life, to dwell within us, to sanctify us, to give us the gifts of repentance and saving faith. He has freely given us the work of the Holy Spirit. He has freely given us the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We don't pay for that. The righteousness of God is imputed to us. He freely gives us that which God requires. We stand before Him completely justified from all sin and all of its penalty. He has freely given us acceptance and forgiveness. We are accepted in the Beloved. Every sin ultimately is forgiven in Christ. He has freely given us the blessings of fellowship and worship and prayer and communion. God has given us His best for our good, for His glory. He's freely given us the treasures and the richness of His Word, full of truth to guide us, to strengthen us, to empower us. He has freely given us the temporal blessings of life and health and all things family, friends. God's freely given us all these things. He's freely given us a home in heaven, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Again, all secured for us by Jesus Christ. Because God spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up in our place, in our stead. What God has freely and graciously given to His people cost Him greatly. The spotless Son of God, who shared an eternity of fellowship with the Father, had to be put to death. He had to suffer the wrath of God. He had to shed His precious blood. God in Christ gave His all, His very best for us. What a wonderful example. God gave us His best for our good, for His glory. What is God's expectations for us? Make no mistake about this. The only way you can be saved, forgiven, justified, declared not guilty, right with God, accepted in the Beloved, complete in Him, is all through the work of Jesus Christ. Alone. Nothing else will do. Salvation is all of God's grace. We're made righteous through faith in Christ alone. Because God has saved us by His grace and purchased us with the blood of Jesus Christ, I believe He has expectations for us to serve Him. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? That you're not your own? That ye are bought with a price? The price being the blood of the very Son of God? Therefore glorify God in your body and spirit, which are God. God expects us to serve Him, to yield our lives to His will, to desire to honor, obey Him in all that we do. We ought to serve the Lord because we love Him. We ought to want to be holy because He is holy. Because He bore our sins in His body on the tree, we ought to yield ourselves, body, soul, and spirit, every day in every way to God's purpose and will as revealed in the Scriptures. And over again, the Bible reveals, the Scriptures reveal what God expects from us, what He wants out of our lives. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Jesus said, that we're to yield ourselves. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "And whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God." God wants our best. And He's worthy of it. Colossians 3:16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatsoever you do, in word or deed. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Verse 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Isn't that amazing? He's not only redeemed us, forgiven us, given us all of the best that He has to offer, but when we serve Him and honor Him and devote our lives unto Him, and empowers us to serve Him. On top of all that, He gives us rewards and glory. We're to walk in good works, which God hath before ordained. Ephesians 2:10. God expects us to serve Him sacrificially. And I get really convicted. Am I really giving God my best? How I think, how I live, what I do. Am I really serious about what God commands? I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's reasonable when we consider that God has given His best for us to devote ourselves to Him. God wants our affections, our desires, our heart. Proverbs 23:26, my son, give me thine heart. I just preached on this a couple weeks ago. If ye then be risen with Christ, set your affection on things above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of the Father. God wants our minds to be fixed upon Him. Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. God wants our hands to engage in service, our feet to run the way of His commandments, our eyes to be fixed on His glory, our mouth to be filled with praise and with the preaching of the gospel of grace. But are we really engaged? By way of application, may God help us to see how wonderful the grace of God is in our salvation, and how much responsibility we bear to serve Him with all of our being. And may God convict us of our excuses, our indifference, our apathy, our cold-heartedness, our lack of conviction of sin. How often do we find ourselves like the church at Laodicea, we might have all the doctrine straight. But have we left our first love, our devotion to God Himself and to the work of the Lord? And I pray that as we reflect on what's been preached today, that God really despises our lack of interest in the things of God. Our half-hearted attempts at worship, our indifference toward the souls of the unsaved, our lack of conviction and grief and repentance over sin. I can't sugarcoat it. God despises that. He's given us His best. And our response should be, Lord, here am I. I want to serve You with everything I have. As I reflected on this morning, there is no telling what God would do with a church that would earnestly consecrate itself afresh to God. I mean, you saw it in the first church. I mean, that little band of men who were so scared prior to the resurrection that they all fled. But the Lord empowered them and gave them understanding and gave them ability, and they filled Jerusalem with the doctrine of Christ, with the power of the gospel. They turned the world upside down. What will God do when individuals are truly worshiping, praying, studying, applying the precepts, obeying the commandments without reservation? Say, it can't be done. With God, all things are possible. Even with a little flock that worships on Buffalo Creek Road, oh, that God would help us. That we would set aside all the petty things that many people allow their lives to be consumed by, and to consecrate ourselves afresh and anew, to regulate our lives by thus saith the Lord. And to be able to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Are we giving Him our best? Let's all stand. Page 140.